Blog Talk Radio.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm part of the Neighborhood Crime Watch. Where this works is you watch, I commit the crime.
Oh, my God. No.
There's no talking. You just give me your watch and wallet now.
Here's my problem. You're black.
Mr. Crane!
What? I'm Devin Crane. I'm a big shot.
So am I.
If you kill me, the headline's gonna be, Black Guy Kills White Big Shot.
And that's the last thing we need when we're trying to elect an African-American as president.
Dear God!
How about if I just blow your brains out right now?
That doesn't work for me. Work for you?
Please. Hey.
All right. Watch. Wallet. Gun. Knee. Right foot. Left foot. Thank God for guns, huh, Jay?
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
In abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funk and lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a lock of...
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerve Radio, with your guide, Deeper, a.k.a. Afro Nerve.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, folks. This is the Midweek in Review edition of Afro Nerd People, a.k.a. Afro Nerd Radio. As always, the call-in number is 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. Feel free to give us a buzz. The water is warm, as always. We'd like to hear from you regarding your thoughts, your questions, your protestations. It's okay. We don't bite. Much. Folks, we've got to talk about a number of things. As you know, I have my workout to get to, so we only have an hour. So we'll try our best to get through as much as we can, considering all the topics that we have for your midweek buffet. I think this next song is going to be a quick groove, maybe about a minute and a half. This next groove is appropriately titled. It's from the great Lenny Kravitz. And I'm going to send this out to Cheryl Underwood, comedian, talk show host, actress. It's called Thin Ice. Ms. Underwood, you're on Thin Ice. Let's groove. We'll be right back. Lenny Kravitz. Lenny Kravitz of Love Letter to Cheryl Underwood, Thin Ice, Thin Ice. Folks, this is the Midweek Review edition of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. Speaking of the captain, you're needed on the bridge because we have to be.
It sounds like the mic and some of the music was chopping, at least on my side here. I don't know if that's the case over there.
Yeah, it's chopping on my side. You sound clear. Clear. It's a little choppy. I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
Maybe it'll straighten itself out. That appears to be a Blog Talk issue. Okay, Captain. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. All right. Again, folks, midweek review time.
You just went out there. You just went out. I didn't hear a thing.
Let me repeat myself. Reasons we're going to have to talk about this Cheryl Underwood debacle. And for those who are not in the know, well, maybe I should play a clip first. If I can find the clip, Captain, I always try to give our audience full disclosure before I start to elucidate. I think that this artiste is in some real hot water. Okay, here we go. Cheryl Underwood, as you may know, she's been around for a number of years now. Actually, she is a Republican, and she's a comedian, actress, and she's a co-host on a show that's very reminiscent of The View, a gab fest for women entitled The Talk with Aisha Tyler and Sharon Osbourne and a few others. So let's go to the clip. This is from, I believe, I don't know where this is from. This is from YouTube somewhere. But anyway, no, actually, this is the actual audio from the show where she says her controversial comments, where she makes her controversial comments. So let's go to the talk where she talks about Afrikoid hair. Hold on, folks.
Runway host Heidi Klum says she saves all kinds of keepsakes from her children with her ex-husband Seal, even their son's hair. In a recent interview, Heidi said, quote, "They have big afros, and when I shave them all down, I keep all the hair and put it in a Ziploc bag. I keep everything." What unusual things do we all save?
Okay, I'm sorry, but... Why would you save afro hair? I mean, you can't weave in afro hair. You can't. You don't never see us at the hair place going, "Look here, what I need is I need this curly, nappy beard." That just seems nasty.
I totally get this. I mean, I don't know if I'm weird, but I have, like, my son's first haircut and hair little
which
things.
Which is probably some beautiful, long, silky stuff.
Me too.
That's not what an afro is.
I saved my kids. I have Kelly when she had her hair first cut. I've got the ponytail. I've got their first teeth. I've got everything. I can't let anything go.
You know, I had a big house fire about eight years ago. And I had just, my mother passed away. And I, because I'm the only girl, everything was willed to me. And so I had my grandmother's things, my great-grandmother's things, my mother's. And in the garage, a fire started, and we had just gassed our boat up. We were taken out on the lake. So the whole side of the house blew off.
Oh, God.
And everything went with it. And, you know, I see people that go through devastation and the tornadoes and all the things that are happening out there. And it is a great loss to lose those things. But I tell you, it's very freeing.
Mm-hmm.
Once you process it. And what I tell my children now, instead of collecting things or saving things, I said, take pictures, put them in iCloud, it can't burn.
Right?
That's right. So, you know.
And see, Marie, when you were telling that story, you know, it did make me think of something I saved. I saved 10% off my car insurance.
Oh, that's righty then. On that note.
All right. You get the gist. a couple of things. First of all, this, I believe this was an encore presentation of the show. So I don't know how this got past us the first time, but this show aired August 30th, a few days ago. So I don't know when the original aired, but this was an encore presentation. We must have bypassed this because this is pretty controversial, a controversial remark or comments for someone to make and for someone to not notice it the first time. I've never been a real big fan of Sheryl Underwood. I've given her a pass simply because – a pass previously because she was a conservative, and when I did hear her speak when she was lucid between the yuck-yucks, she would talk about being independent-minded and having the right to – she was very, very cogent about – having an independent spirit and not necessarily just bawling over for being a Democrat. I mean, being Democratic or a Democrat, I should say, for a black person comes off as being very, very matter-of-factly, very cultural. It's very stereotypical. So when she would go into being a Republican, I gave her some props for that. Okay, I said, okay, she has a mind of her own. She's not a follower. But after hearing this, Captain, where she's going in on African hair, and then by virtue going in on Heidi Klum's being a mother and saving her children's hair, who happen to be a black or of color, it's very disturbing. I thought it was very unnerving. If you actually see the clip, you can find the clip anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Go to YouTube, look this thing up. There's so many different angles to take this, Captain. And this really is another example of what we do here at AfroNerd, where we're trying to ring the alarm in. We're ringing the alarm, and folks have told us for a couple of years now, we don't know what we're talking about. We're talking about minstrels. We're talking about modern-day court jesters. Captain, I want you to weigh in. I got a few more things to say. I have a tendency to be over-analytical, but there's some things that have to go on. Mike, go over to you. You can go back into the archives, ladies and gentlemen. When the Don Imus affair popped off, I said in a rather prescient way, I said that we should have given that man an apology. I said it somewhat in a joking way, but I was half joking about it, that he should. How dare we decide to get upset about him making this comment? Now,
hold on, D-Bert, your last statement just went blank.
What I said was, I thought we should have given. In the archives, you can go back to past comments that I made where I felt that we should not have really gone through all the hullabaloo regarding Don Imus, radio legend Don Imus, broadcaster, for his comments when he talked about, quote-unquote, the navy-headed hoes and the Rutgers female basketball team, women's basketball, to a stink about the 20-year-plus reign of bad hip-hop, of minstrel hip-hop, that has been very disparaging toward black culture and black women specifically. We gave that a pass, but this white man, because he's white.
Yeah, your mic is going in and out, D-Bert. D-Bert.
That we crucified Don Imus for. The lack
D-Bert,
of consistency.
Your mic is going in and out, D-Bert. It's going in and out.
We'll just try to bear with it, Captain, because
okay. There's
nothing I can do, unfortunately. But what I'm saying is we can't get on Don Imus's case after this Sheryl Underwood matter. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, we're in a time now where it's good for the goose is good for the gander. When we had the Don Imus situation, you know, black people went crazy, not because of the hole part. I thought that was the big problem. He said nappy-headed hoes. Your hair is nappy. That's your hair. What are you talking about? So why are you getting upset because the white man, validation versus invalidation, said your hair is nappy? You know, your hair is. A lot of us, that's what it is. Not all, but a lot of us, that's what it is. The hair is nappy. So now you have the comedian here, this comedian, I said hair, you know, no pun intended hair, talking about black hair. And the truth is, a lot of women feel that way about their hair. Not all. We see a lot of Afrocentric women running around and they look beautiful. Afro punk, holla at me. But a lot of women in the black community do feel this way about their hair. So now we just live in a time, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You say the N-word now as a black person, it's starting to catch up to the same thing. It's not there yet. It's starting to catch up, though, you know, to the point where, you know, what happens when a white person says it. You know, they're just passing it around now. They're starting to pass it around. It's not there. It's not there, of course, but that's what happens. But at a higher level now, is at a higher level. When you start to control what people say, then it goes further than that. You start to control what people think. Food for thought. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Okay, let's open up the lines. I think I know who this is, but I'm not sure. There's a few folks that listen to us out of Chicago. So let's go to the lines and see what our audience thinks. Again, I have more to discuss on it so much, but it's very harrowing, very, very frightening almost to see this self-hate being displayed on an internet, on a national, if not international level. And it's so down after the call. It's crazy. It is a type of madness. 312, welcome to Africa Radio. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from.
Yeah, Sergio.
Sir, why don't I recognize your number? I should recognize it better. What's up?
Well, you know, a couple of things. Look, I'm not giving her – you gave her a pass because she is a Republican and all that. No, you shouldn't have given her a pass in the first place. She was hired on that show to be the coon. They had previously they had Holly Robinson Pete on the show.
That I remember.
And she got fired. She was dumped from the show because the word is that she was too intelligent. She knew what she was talking about. The other, and this, you see this all the time, same thing with Sherry Shepherd on The View. They don't want to have intelligent, attractive women on black women on their shows because it makes the white women look bad. So they get Sherry Shepherd, who's an idiot, and then they have this chick, this woman, Sherry Underwood, who already was in trouble for saying things as well. She was the president of some sorority, and some people said it was a bad idea. I'm also, you know, she has, first of all, she refused to apologize. Then she did an apology. Now I read an interview today in which now she's trying to put a spin on it, in which she was saying that, you know, when she said the word nappy, you heard it. When she said the word nappy, she was referring to the act of saving hair, not the fact that black hair was nasty. You hear the dialogue. Very clearly, she says nappy, nasty hair. And then she equates straight white hair with being beautiful, you know, silky. So, I mean, she could spin it any way she wants. She said what she said. She has a lot of self-hatred. And the other thing, too, is how come the other black woman on the show, Aisha Tyler, didn't say anything?
I can tell you why. Well, first of all, Aisha Tyler is
feels
beautiful.
The same way.
let's get into it. I'm not going to say that per se. Aisha Tyler, she's a Dartmouth graduate, very intelligent. She has her own podcast. I think it's man on woman, woman on man. But
I think,
she has her own podcast.
Guy, girl on guy, something like that.
Yeah,
I've
right.
heard it. It's not that great. I've heard a couple of podcasts. You have to listen to her Bray laughing all the time. I can't deal with it.
I like what she's doing because of the guests she has on there. She does try to get like the other. I like that she's different. But the part that I don't like is, I think there's a camaraderie with the comedian thing. Aisha Tyler's a comedian or comedian. So is Cheryl Underwood. So I think that there's some of that going on, and maybe because of the hair issue too, maybe because of the hair thing too. I just know I don't like this.
Hello.
Can you hear me, Captain?
Wow.
I didn't hear anything
you said. Now I hear you. Yes.
Okay. This is Blog Talk technology. You know, when it gets hot and you need to hear us, there's an issue. All
right,
we'll try to muddle through. Hopefully it comes out in the playback. What I was saying was that I don't like the fact that we have these court jesters as representatives. And the reason why I use the term court jester, Captain, I like to think that I study etymology. On occasion, I'll go back to basic.
Oh, brother.
Was the term court jester. So I looked up court jester, even though I know what a court jester is. It says a lot when you get into the meaning of a court jester, what court jesters are, what court jesters were in medieval times. And they have political significance. We know that the court jester was the fool employed by dynasties, employed by monarchs. There's also a word that was connected to court jesters. Another word was buffoon. And when you look up the word buffoon, I'm going to read to you exactly what a buffoon is. It says, in similar vein, a buffoon is a term for someone who provides amusement through inappropriate appearance and or behavior. Originally, the term was used to describe a ridiculous but amusing person. The term is now frequently used in a But when you go into more about what a fool, what a court jester, and what a buffoon is, it describes what this woman did completely. Matter of fact, it's a term called licensed fools or professional fools. This is what a court jester is. In the English royal court system, there were licensed fools, the predecessors of the modern-day comedian. And that's exactly what this person is. She's there, as Sergio said, she's there to be edgy and to say inappropriate things, mind farts, brain farts. You know, but when you go into the history of what a comedian or court jester is, you start to see this is why this person is there. Now, she was on, in all fairness, she was morning, and she gave a rather heartfelt apology, and Steve Harvey was there to brush her Caucasian hair hat to make her feel better. But she's an embarrassment, and she has uprooted all that pomp and circumstance from 6 or 7 years ago from the Don Imus affair.
No, wait a minute. She was on this morning. She was on this morning Steve Harvey show.
Yeah, giving an apology.
I didn't hear that.
She gave
okay,
a real.
Okay, but here's the thing.
It appeared to be.
You,
it appeared
did
to be
you
a
see?
Go ahead, Serge.
No, did you see a couple months ago? And this has been shown video too, where somehow they got into a discussion about weaves and wigs, and all the women on the show took out their weaves. Now, you know, we're talking about white chicks. They just took out these tiny little pieces of hair, you know. tiny little pieces of hair, you know, that was attached to her hair. So when they get to Underwood, she's shaking her head no. She won't do it. She's shaking her head, right? Finally, they get her to pull off her wig, right? She has no hair underneath. No hair. I mean, first of all, just don't embarrass yourself. She has no hair. I have more hair on my head than she does. Years of processing, years of putting that chemical waste in your hair has destroyed everything she has left. She has to wear those wigs, those ridiculous wigs, you know, in order to cover up. Actually, she doesn't. She doesn't want to just go bald, you know. But, you know, it's an embarrassment. And she's done it before. Her job was to be the coon on the show. They got rid of Holly Robinson because she was an intelligent woman and she wasn't going to play that game. And they fired her. And Osborne fired her, got her off the show, and they got somebody who will acquiesce and be the fool.
Yeah, well, listen, this was blown over as well. But didn't Sharon Osborne, I don't think we spoke about this, but didn't Sharon Osborne say something a few weeks ago about Justin Bieber that doesn't, you know, because Justin Bieber is exhibiting aberrant behavior. So,
yeah.
She said that someone needs to tell Justin Bieber that he's white. He's not black. So you know what that infers? It infers that, well, that behavior is more becoming of a black person. Now, that was blown over, but there's a number of things that are going on that show that where you get an insight as to how people really think. So Osborne said that her own madness and her own drug-addled family. Not just her husband.
Yeah, right.
Her family.
I mean, what she's famous for? She's married to a drug user. I mean, that's what it comes to. She's famous because she's married to a drug addicted, wrecked, one time big rock star who's so addle brained because of the heavy drug use that he can barely talk. That's what she's famous for.
Well, this is, I mean, let me go to the chat room here because we have a newfound follower, and we thank him for sticking with us. He says, "What would Jack Porkins do?" That's his title. What would Jack Porkins do? And he's saying, "Why are you all saying it was self hate? Maybe she was cracking a joke about saving hair, and just used her own hair type to do." It's a big deal. It's a big deal because there's a precedent of this. This is not something that's just unique to Cheryl Underwood. This is a whole larger complex issue regarding features that black folks possess that have been ridiculed since we got off the slave ships. Whether your dark skin, wide bridge nose, your intellect, everything under the sun historically has been made fun of.
Oh, jeez.
Psychological study. There's a famous doll test that I know Sergio knows about. A doll test that took place in the 1940s where he had four-year-old, five-year-old black children that they were asked which doll is the most attractive. Now, these are infants. These are toddlers being asked about imagery in the 40s. The infamous doll test. And 98% of them always went for the white doll. What doll do you resemble? They would point to the black doll. Now, these are five-year-olds. You go back to 2006, this test was repeated 70 years later, same results. Okay, so it's a major thing to say this on a major platform where this woman, first of all, we have to stop having these folks positioning them as representatives. She's a court jester. I don't want a court jester representing me. I want Obama to represent me. Okay, I don't want her representing me, and that's the problem. Every time these kind of shows, talk shows, we always get a clown. too many clowns in the room.
You see, but once again, to the commenter, don't forget, she didn't say saving hair was nasty. And a lot of people save hair. I know people who save hair. I wish I could save my hair. I would have been in a better place. But look, she said saving Afro nappy hair is nasty. Really? But she didn't have a problem when the white woman talked about saving her children's hair, and she referred to it as long, silky, beautiful, silky. She doesn't have a problem with that. You know, listen to what she says. She doesn't have a problem with someone saving, a white person saving their hair, but there's a problem saving that Afro nappy, nasty hair. Listen to what she says.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, that's like very blatant about that. And the fact that she has this, as I say, she wears these Afro-Saxon toupees, this Davy Crockett hair hat. You know, I'm pretty sure the studio lights are hot. So you're wearing this Caucasian hair hat on your head, as if it's a toupee in the modern era. And I said again, I went to Afropunk. I was enlightened at Afropunk, where you see these beautiful. And you know, I'm on this, Sergio. I'm very. I'm not gonna say I'm sexist. I'm not gonna say that. But I can appreciate a fine woman. And
okay,
I like
sexist.
A woman.
I'll say it for you. I'm sexist.
Hold on. Well, okay, hold on. I like a woman that's in shape and a whole nine. And these women, honestly, I'm not being biased here. They cannot be cut. They could not be. There's no comparison. I saw all types of women, and I'm attracted to all types. I don't have a particular type. I saw fine Asian women. I saw Latinas. I saw everyone. But these sisters with that sass, and their hair was natural, and their bodies were tight. They were stunning. They were stunning. I remember growing up on 70s and 80s imagery.
Oh,
Sergio,
yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Okay, when you saw Pam Grier, oh God, I had a crush on her. what's her name? From Good Time. They played Thelma.
Rolona. Oh, Thelma. Yeah, Thelma. Not Rolona.
I can't remember her. Bernadette Stannis.
Uh-huh.
These women cannot be touched. And mind you, while, and I said this, as a matter of fact, I said this on Rob Redding's show. I didn't have enough time to get the audio. I have the audio by Saturday. But I said that, you know, while Sheryl Underwood is making these comments, I was an Afropunk where there were plenty of white male admirers giving me the look that made bonding look like, hey, look at that over there. Now, I'm all about that kind of brotherhood, personally. Because I'm a man. I had white attendees giving me that look like, whoa, look at that sister over there. Now, I don't know what drug Sheryl Underwood is on. I don't know what she's talking about.
Well, okay. The commenter here says, but most people will make fun of their heritage, Roger and Case, appearance. I know I do. Okay, yeah, we do. But there's a place and time to do it. When you're with your friends, when you're at a picnic, when you're at dinner, you know, at a social gathering, you know, you can make fun of yourself, you can make fun of black people, whatever. But when you're on television, being seen by millions of people, you have a white audience, I'm talking about in the studio, but also watching at home. And then you're making fun where you're throwing black women under the bus, making fun of their hair, the hair that God gave them. Are you serious? I mean, there
Sure,
is a time
yeah.
and there is a place for say anything. That sure as hell was not the time nor the place to throw insult black women.
But what makes it a Twilight Zone episode, Serge, is that she says it while her and her compatriot have Caucasian hair sewn into their nappy heads.
Right.
They're wearing Caucasian hair hats as they make the comments. And what makes it even more harrowing, gentlemen, and I have to go to Tommy Sotomayor. I don't always agree with his style. You know, I agree with his fire. I don't necessarily agree. For those who may not be familiar, Tommy Sotomayor is, I guess, a compatriot on YouTube. He's a little over the top for my taste. But
you know, I've been watching him a lot lately.
Well, listen, allegedly, Cheryl Underwood knows him. He's making some noise. He gets thousands of hits on YouTube, so he's making some ground. And I would say he's in our spirit. But listen, we don't all agree on everything. But I agree with him 100% as to what he was saying about this issue. And he said something that was very interesting, is that here you have Heidi Klum, a Nordic woman, who is saving her Afrikoid children's hair out of love. She has more love for her son's hair than a black woman if she had her own black kid's hair.
That's the deep issue.
And also, she said that if you factor in Heidi Klum and Barack Obama's mother, they had a better handle on raising black children than a black woman does. And I sat there, I said, you know what? I can't deconstruct that. That maybe we are in a Twilight Zone episode. If a white woman can give a better loving. Seen black women put chemicals on babies' heads, and we're seeing black women put weaves on children's hair, but not white women. What is up now? This is madness. You gotta explain. You're silent, gentlemen. You gotta explain that to me. How did that happen?
It's a bizarre world. I don't know. A bizarre world that Nordic, as she's German, you know, Heidi Klum is German. This German chick has more respect for her children than a lot of black women do. Now, okay, don't jump on me, but hey, you know,
Hold on, sir. This might be why, I hate to say this, Serge, but this might be why some of these other women of various ethnicities are scooping up some of these black men. Might be.
You're sounding like Tommy Sotomayor now.
No, I'm cashing it. Well, listen, I notice things. Let's put it this way. I'm not going to say all black women, but some black women will couch the argument about interracial dating that, well, you hate yourself and all these kind of made up issues, like issues that you really don't know why. You know, it's like they're making assumptions as to why these relationships flourish. But if you go into this issue, you might see something different, because some of these women of various ethnicities appreciate the difference. They're not looking at quote unquote kinky hair as a negative. But your black woman is. I mean, if this white woman is saving those precious locks, and this woman's saying it's nasty, that there's something going on there. It's a psychological study. Go ahead, sir.
Let me tell you something. If you read the comments, I've been following this thing. You've been reading comments. People have been tearing her apart. I'm talking about Cheryl Underwood. I mean, people have really been tearing her apart, and which is why I got to listen to the Steve Harvey thing. She went on the show today. I want to hear what she says. But some people have cut her a little slack because they say, you know, I don't want to be mean, but let's face it, she's not really an attractive woman. And no doubt, you know, people have been comparing her to Wesley Snipes, some with Mr. Ed, you know, but some but, you know, she's not an attractive woman, and a lot of people say she's probably been getting grief all her life for her looks. You know, as a matter of fact, there was a comment I came across by somebody, actually went to school with her, I think high school with her, and said that back in high school she was always the cut-up, the clown, and she suspected to mask the fact that she didn't like herself. People criticized her. So I can see that. I can see that, you know, she's had a rough life. You know, I've seen of her humor, she's not that funny, you know. But then I don't think Aisha Taylor is funny either. But, you know, I can kind of see where her mindset is coming from because, you know, she's not Halle Berry. So I can see where, you know, she has problems with self-esteem. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. Well, I'm saying this. It still goes back to why these people are given the mic. That's my gripe. That we can never seem to get tight black folk that know how to compartmentalize themselves. Matter of fact, I'm not against comedy. I like comedy, but you know, I think about someone like George Carlin, who was highly controversial. What he made. You know, he gave you instructional humor. You know, we should be getting a certain level of humor, thought provoking. It's more about let me expand this. We have babies dying, right? There's yet another 1-year-old in Brooklyn that got shot. His father was a gangbanger. He gets shot. They're trying to dismantle Stop and Frisk, as you know. You're in Chi-Town, Chi-Rack. And I'm seeing baby after baby after baby getting killed. Okay, now we're talking about East New Yorkistan, as I call it. You have East New Yorkistan, a similar situation, not unlike Chi-Rack. And I'm saying, you know, it all boils down to human importance, the importance and value of humanity. And if she sits there, the Oracle even said when he heard about this comment, she made it seem as if you have no value. Black folks see themselves as having no value. I want to mention one other thing.
And we don't hear it. Okay.
This is going into Captain Kirk territory. About perception. I had a moment of pause with reverse perms. I think I mentioned this before. there was a trend in China. Now, Chinese people had the straightest hair on earth, right? There was a fashion trend called the reverse perm, where on purpose they made their hair look like Afrikoid hair. Which was confusing because I've seen black people look like that. I'm like, wait a minute, are they black or are they Asian? But they were full Asians, but as a fashion statement, they started rocking afros. That's a standard. They saw black folk half a world away and thought that black hair in its natural state. Because our standard is not the standard, we seem to gravitate towards straight hair. But if the standard were reversed, the perception would be, well, kinky hair is the standard. I'm going to do a reverse perm. It's all about perception. It's all about lies. It's a complete lie. For a person who has naturally straight hair to reverse perm it because of what they saw as beautiful. The woman in Japan darkened her hair and started putting her hair in cornrows because she thought that when she saw the rap videos, she thought that the darker skin and she thought that black people looked healthier. She looked at it in a different way. She looked at a different standard. So when you flip the coin over, it's the same thing. It's all a facade. I'm not going for it, gentlemen.
But anyway, like I said, to get to your point, the reason why they have Sherry Shepherd and the reason why they have this Underwood person is because the people who create these shows, who are basically white women, they don't want any competition. And competition in their eyes is an intelligent, beautiful black woman who knows what they're talking about. Get someone who's not attractive. Get someone who's not that bright. Get someone who has no problem making a fool of themselves.
Well, you might be onto something. I say that as a general rule, but as far as that show, I mean, Aisha Tyler is as beautiful as anyone on that stage.
So I don't think she's that hot. But go ahead.
Oh, what? Really?
I'm sorry. I don't see it.
Captain, you've seen Aisha Tyler. She is an attractive woman. I think.
Yeah, she's good to go. I'm not going to go crazy for her. I don't go crazy for her.
Yeah, see, I ain't going. I'm going, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
She's not Halle Berry.
Halle Berry isn't Halle Berry. But she's still hanging on.
Oh, yes, she is.
Hang on. All right, listen, let's go to a quick musical break. I want to, when we get back, it's even more self-hate on the realm. Enough of Cheryl Underwood. I think we've made our point. This case with the North Carolina pastor, see, this is what disturbs me. We have a case of a pastor, Sergio, I don't know if you heard about this. The pastor runs a black church, but sent out an email to let her parishioners know that they wanted white greeters. Only white greeters to give a certain impression that when you enter this black church, you want to see white people first.
I'm sorry, what state was this again? What state was this again?
North Carolina.
Well, see, there's your answer.
No, I can't say that. Because up the road here in New York, you had an employment agency that a black man of Latin descent, he owned his own employment agency. He went into a four-minute N-word rant in an all-black office. And he got sued by a former employee or a former worker, and she won $250,000. And he tried to say, well, this was an endearment kind of thing. And the judge said no. So now we're getting called to the carpet once again about this whole thing, about the N-word is, you know, what's good for us is not good for you. We are getting...
This is not working.
Blog Talk, we're going to kill you, Blog Talk.
That's not working anymore. It's not. All right, let's go to a quick groove. Let's see, more. I want to stick with more urban alternative. If I can find it. All right, quickly. This is a woman who has an afro, and she's fine. Andy Allo, If I Was King, Prince's Muse. Look her up. Andy Allo, big afro, and I wouldn't want it any other way. Be right back. Let's groove. About 2 minutes.
And I hear a laugh everywhere. white way every year. Example to the whole wide world. If I was a boy, she was my girl.
If I was king, Andy Allo, and take a look at her. Again, she is quite beauteous from Cameroon, one of Prince's muses, and an excellent artist, and she wears an afro. And I suspect she might have had an influence with his new coif because his royal badness has returned to, it looks like he, the guy doesn't age, so he looks like he stepped out of his first album, Prince for You, circa 1978, where he had an afro. Before that, he used to have his hair permed up. So now he has an afro. So you know what it is, Captain? It looks like the black race is at a civil war. We're in a civil war. I'm going to the Comic Con in a few weeks. I just left Afro Punk. We do a conservative show. We don't really talk about victimization. But you can go to some other show and they'll talk about hip hop and minstrelsy and I'm a victim and woe is me. I mean, we have so many. I'm playing urban alternative. Black rock, Afro punk, rock music, ska. Somebody else is playing minstrel music. I mean, I think if we were able to see and hear from all facets of the black experience, and let the populace make a decision. See, what's happening is we're seeing the court jesters. We're seeing the folks that promote victimization, and then people believe that this is what black folks want. No. This is what black folks are given. They're not really given a choice. You know, I hate to say this, but you have Fox, you have CNN, you have MSNBC. The majority culture is accustomed to having choices. Black folk, unfortunately, are accustomed to being perceived as a monolith. There are different types of black people, different types, different ethnicities, different nationalities, different experiences, different income levels, different educational levels, different geographical levels, differences. And yet we still get this ghettoized, lower tier, one size fits all paradigm for blackness. And it's got to stop. If we're to succeed, it's got to stop. So we got about 5 minutes remaining, folks. Again, this is the Midweek in Review session of Afro Radio. As I talked to the great Sergio Mims, as I mentioned before the break, two stories back to back. Minstrelsy. The first one is around our parts. Lawyer hopes $280,000 award in New York case over N-word use among blacks brings societal changes. This is what we're talking about. Shut your traps with this N-word, this N-word, that, and then expect to be respected. I can say it, can't say it. Let's just get rid of vulgarity altogether. Okay? I've had my fill of it. Anyway, quickly, this is from the Washington Post. The lawyer for a black woman whose hostile workplace claim against a black boss's N-word rant produced a $280,000 jury award says she hopes the case teaches society something. It's the most offensive word in the English language, attorney Marjorie Sharp said, outside federal court in Manhattan after a jury Tuesday added $30,000 in punitive damages to go with the $250,000 compensatory damages award it imposed last week against Strive, the acronym Strive, EAP and founder Rob Cremona. 4 minutes remaining, folks. To get to the point, she was subjected to this N-word rant in an all-black office, and he thought that the owner of the employment agency thought that, well, we're all black and I can say the N-word in a business environment because it should be understood, it's cultural, it's in-house, and it's endearment. The judge didn't think so. And he's talking about almost $300,000 to learn this lesson. Now, there's another case from North Carolina of a black pastor that wanted to have a white, an only white greeter portion of the church. In other words, when he wanted to have only white volunteers to greet folks at the door for some kind of impression-making thing. And now that pastor, Makita Pennycook, now she's getting the Bunsen burner grill. She's getting put on the grill now for being equally as ignorant. And when you and I have talked about this, Captain, we're insane. See, all this is coming to a head. We've talked about this for years now. All this foolishness, things that cannot be deconstructed. When we talk about this stuff, you cannot deconstruct this.
Oh, you're going so good.
Boil on your asses. Captain, you got about 2 minutes.
Well, here's the reality.
We're not delusional after all. Go ahead.
Here's the reality. I had this discussion with a few people like about a week and a half ago in a restaurant, black and white, over the N-word, and they were all coming at me. But ultimately, I said this. Regardless of whatever you want to say, they say, oh, words don't have power. I said, words definitely have power, you ignoramuses, because people go to war over words. Words denote action. That's what it is. It's all about words. If I say, I effed your girl, all right, you know what I'm saying. The first thing you do, because I said this, it denotes an action, you go check it out. Then you go check it out, and then you find out to be true. Furniture starts moving behind a word. So words do matter. And they tell you, they say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. They've been lying to you since day one with that statement. Come on, man. We go to war over words, you know, weapons of mass destruction. We go into war. They never found any weapons of mass destruction. You go into war, your country's getting bombed because of the phrase weapons of mass destruction. Words do matter. So the terminology, the N-word, which is a derogatory term for black people, it is what it is. You could dress it up as much as you want. Just you dress up soul food, but if you get the seven-figure bonus, chances are you don't go to a soul food restaurant. Yes, it has been dressed up. You go to something very high-end, and you're normally not going to eat soul food because soul food was a throwaway food. You understand what I'm saying? You see my point of view? It is what it is at the end of the day.
Yeah, Captain, we got to wrap it up.
All right, let's go.
We'll do it again on Saturday, the Grindhouse Show double feature with Daryl B. Let's go on out on a classic. I don't know why Cheryl Underwood feels the way she does. This is the Rolling Stones covering Stevie Wonder. I don't know why. See you on Saturday.
Hey, Blog Talk, do better.
Keep me when I'm down.